right, welcome to the inaugural Fantasy Olympian podcast. This is Brian Clark. I'm one of the founders of Fantasy Olympian, and joining me on the other line, one of our other co-founders, finishing up his ski ballet routine, just in case they bring that back, it's Jeremy Bridgman.
Jeremy, hey, how you doing? Hello, everyone. I'm doing great. Thanks, Brian. I've been practicing all day. It's cold out, but I think I'm ready, should they bring it back.
All right. Well, it's good that we're ready. This is the first time we've done one of these podcasts, but you know, as the interest continues to grow, we thought there might be some folks out there interested in hearing some stuff about some strategy and about Team USA. As of this recording, we have 1,043 folks with teams, which is just incredible from our standpoint.
Brian, it's absolutely incredible. Thinking about how this started and grown to here, it's amazing, and I'm just humbled by the interest in the Olympics.
Yeah, and you know, in case anyone doesn't know our story, this kind of started just as an idea amongst some friends back in 2006. A couple of our good friends, Dustin Torres and Lee Delaveras, who we grew up with in Ohio, we all got to talking about starting a fantasy league. We set it up kind of on a blog that summer, or that winter, rather. I guess that was the Winter Olympics in 06, and didn't really, had fun with it, but didn't really envision anything like this. It's kind of grown a bit over the years, and then this year we've been fortunate enough to team up with some great programmers, Steve Hammond and Matt Budin, who had played the game and were interested in kind of building it out. And it's really just taken off.
Yeah, starting from four of us in 2006 to 1,000 from every English speaking country in the world is pretty incredible.
That's enough about us. Let's tell you about the game here. In case you haven't played before, or are just getting into this, or you know, want kind of more analysis of it. Basically the way it works is, in our game, you're not picking necessarily a country so much as you're picking the athlete, and your goal is to get the athlete to have the most gold medals. You get 3 points for a gold medal, 2 points for a silver medal, 2 points for a bronze. It's a 10-round draft, and you take the athletes, and then you also take another country in there that's a tiebreaker in case there's a tie at the end. We go to that medal count, and that's the quick version. Jeremy, I know you are a past Fantasy Olympian gold medalist, as am I, so I guess we are about experts as there are in this field. What are some tips that you would give to anyone playing this for the first time?
Well, I think given my experience winning the gold, as it were, is really to focus on some of those later round medal locks. The year that I won was Michael Phelps' big year, where you remember when he just ran off the board with 8 gold medals, and he ran off with 24 points in our scoring system. But I was able to win my league that year because I had later round picks who were kind of guaranteed on things. So. I think for me, my strategy certainly going into this draft is to focus on the later round medal lock picks as opposed to the upfront front runners. And I know we're going to talk about who those people are, but for me, that's my strategy. That's how I play the game. What about you?
Well, so you're really looking for somebody like a Shaun White, who he's won 2 gold medals before. It's a very strong possibility he's going to get a medal. He's actually doing 2 events this year, which is different because the slope style is new this year. But, pretty much guaranteed points. And that's one of the things that for the Winter Olympics is particularly good advice because it's not necessarily as top-heavy as the Summer Games. If you look back at what we had for London, between Phelps and Lochte and a couple of the other American swimmers, it was a really top-heavy draft. And while it was possible to win without those guys, it made it a lot more difficult. In this round, there's certainly a lot of points to be had up at the top in some of the multi-event disciplines like the cross-country skiing or the biathlon, but there's more folks at that level. And then there's also, it's not quite as many points as the swimmers who just seem to be out there every single day. One of the things I'll point out, and we've gotten some questions about this, for the Winter Olympics, we do go international. For the Summer Games, we just choose the American team, and that's just because of the size of things. That's one thing to be aware of, is if you just stick to American athletes, I think the first American athlete on our rankings right now is 17th on the big board, so you don't want to get caught up in that.
Brian, that's what I wanted to point out for people that have played before, is that this year with the Winter Olympics, I think you win the Winter Olympics with your research up front, because you have to go international, because you have to learn some more obscure sports. But like you were saying, it is possible to get some good points up front and then consistently throughout.
Right. Well, I know, one of our players had some great success a couple Olympic cycles back when she chose to go with an all-Norwegian team. I believe she finished second.
I do remember that.
I heard from her. I think she might be doing it again. Hope I'm not giving away her strategy here. But, for the Winter Olympics, it's not a bad strategy when in doubt, going Norwegian. They are, if you look back historically, they lead the all-time Winter Olympic medal count by a very wide margin. Now, countries like the U.S. have closed on them in recent years, but that's largely due to the influx of more, snowboarding, extreme sports type things that for some reason we seem to be good at. But, I can tell from the emails we've gotten, there's a lot of people out there doing their research and really digging deep, because they're coming up with some athletes that apparently they want to draft that I've never heard of. We went through and kind of put in everybody we thought was going to medal. But, there's always some surprises, and the closing rounds are the time to take a flyer on that. If you've got somebody, we've heard some people say, well, he's from my hometown, I want to draft him or whatever. That's great, but, just be careful not to – don't spend a high draft pick on that, because that could cost you a lot of points.
Get your tiebreaker country in, and then draft the guy that you know.
Yeah, that's right. And then the other thing I've always said is try not to get caught up in the hype. There's always some people every year who get hyped up so much. I mean, the historical example is the Dan and Dave commercials with Reebok back in the day when neither of them ended up meddling at all. The more recent example in our fantasy era, so to speak, was Bodie Miller, the first go-round. He was a first-round pick and ended up getting nothing. For this Olympics, I would advise, I think the U.S. figure skaters, other than perhaps the ice dancing team, are probably a stay away. Obviously, they're very popular here. It's a very popular sport. Everybody gets into it. But some of the other countries just have it, particularly Russia, China, and Japan just kind of have it on lockdown and have for several years now. So while it's possible that a U.S. figure skater could pull a surprise, I wouldn't want to put my draft on the line for that. So,
yeah, Brian, I think that's a really good point in general. 4 years ago, you and I and a couple of friends had the great fortune to actually go to the Vancouver Olympics and see in person Hannah Kearney win a gold for USA. That was one of those unexpected ones. But in general, the Team USA is pretty – I'm feeling pretty much overhyped. I think we get a lot of the media blast here. But to think about them as more surprises and let that be a great upside for the country as opposed to running your fantasy team, I think is a pretty good strategy if you're looking to win.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Team USA a bit. So as you noted, they don't seem to be as strong as they were in Vancouver. Now, of course, the team in Vancouver went out and set a record for Winter Olympic medals and won the Winter Olympic medal count for the first time ever. So, we're comparing to perhaps the greatest USA Winter Olympic team of all time. But one of the things I've noticed is there's just seems to be a lack of star power. You know, Lindsey Vonn has unfortunately not been able to come back from her injury in time. Figure skater and past gold medalist Evan Lysacek is out. You know, Bodie Miller is in, but he's not. He's getting older, and so there's just there's bound to be some new stars come out of this Olympics. There always are, but it seems like going in, Team USA is not as hot as they might have seemed in the past.
No, I mean, and I mean, even Shaun White cut his hair. I think that's going to have some kind of Samson and Delilah effect. So you can't even really count on the flying tomato. And then the USA hockey team that rode really deep to the silver medal last year. I don't like the chances, unfortunately. Goaltending is going to be suspect. It feels like 4 years ago there was some expectation about what Team USA would do, and then they went above and beyond and set the record, as you were talking about. But I don't think that there is that there's not that star power. There's not that level of we've been dominating certain sports over the last couple of years. There's not that sense of anything. I mean, I guess if you want to take a long shot just because she's in on it, and you take Lolo Jones and her bobsled team. They're going to get a fast start, but whether or not they can keep on track is a whole other thing.
Right. Well, that team in general, kind of a fascinating story. Just Elena Myers started out as a break guy for the men. It's called a break man. I don't know if break woman, the break person in the past Olympics, and now she's a driver. That's not something you always see happen. You've got in the bobsled vein, you've got Steve Holcomb over there attempting to defend his gold medal, and it's certainly a possibility that he could, although he hasn't been as hot on the circuit lately. I mean, there are some familiar names. I mean, you mentioned our girl Hannah Kearney out there defend her gold medal. My understanding is that she's been really pretty dominant over the last 4 years. It's one thing that we as novices and from where we were sitting, it was hard for us to tell at the Vancouver Olympics. But reading up on it after the fact, we learned that her moguls run was one of the best and most dominant of all time, which we didn't know that was
the case. we were excited, and we had the flag out there cheering, so that's all that really mattered.
Right, right. It's been cool for us to see her and all the promos and everything.
Yeah, speaking of favorites, have we talked about Sharni Davis, our buddy from the Fantasy Olympian Twitter account, at Fantasy Olympian?
Yeah, our good friend Sharni Davis. I tweeted out last week that after we kind of got in our big board in order that Sharni Davis was the top ranked American, and he favorited that tweet. So that just goes to show, folks, that not only are we starting to draw more attention to the site generally, but the athletes are paying attention. I mean, we had some of that in London too, and it's always really cool for us to see them tweeting back or just taking notice in some way. And our dream would be at some point for one of these athletes to put together a fantasy team and draft themselves or whatever that might be. But we'll see. But yeah, I mean, Sharni Davis is he's back for his third Olympics, looking for an opportunity for a gold medal in three straight Olympics, which hasn't been done a lot. He's 31 now, but he's got a chance to three-peat in the 1,000 meters. I think, if I'm remembering right, he and Shaun White both have an opportunity to be the first American men to three-peat as gold medalists in three straight Olympics. I think Shaun's up first because I know the slope style is Shaun White's first shot. Well, I guess that wouldn't be a three-peat. But I think Sean goes first in terms of his events. But, if he doesn't...
Yes, in terms of the scheduling of events, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, that's something to watch for both those guys. And then in terms of some surprises on Team USA, one thing I'm really watching with great interest is, and shoot, I don't even know how to say her name, Keegan, or I think it's Keegan Randall, in women's cross country. Her winning wouldn't be a surprise. In fact, you know, by our calculation, she's the favorite in one of her cross country events. But the reason it would be a surprise is that the U.S. has only had one medal ever in cross country skiing. That was Bill Cook's silver medal in the 1976 Olympics. And so, particularly if Randall was able to bring home gold, that would be a historic moment for Team USA. And so she's a fun one to watch.
And Brian, I think that goes back to some of the earlier points. Like, she's one of those ones where, not to give away my draft strategy, but I'm looking to try to get her on my team around, like, round 6 or 7, kind of a later round flyer, you know, kind of, you know, favorite for the event, plus Team USA, you know, kind of, that's how I'm kind of structuring my team this year, is I want to get, you know, some of these newer names in there so that when they win, I win too. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's a great strategy. I mean, and some other ones to think about in that same vein, you've got Ariel Gold in snowboarding. You know, she's one of the newer names on the circuit. As you know, you've got your Hannah Teeters and your Kelly Clarks who've been around for a while. Erin Hamlin in the luge. The luge is a pretty European-dominated sport, but Erin Hamlin's got a puncher's chance there. Freestyle skier Bobby Brown, not that one, but Bobby Brown has a chance to medal. And then, you know, another new event this year, and I know they've been lobbying hard for it for a long time, I'm glad to see it finally get in there, is the women's ski jump will be making its debut, and Sarah Hendrickson of Team USA definitely has a shot in that.
Yeah, that's another exciting one. It's already got the tear-jerking commercial that runs on NBC every other commercial break, but that's an exciting event that, you know, just as a first-time one is going to be something I'll certainly be watching this year.
Well, now, speaking of NBC, hopefully they will be able to refrain from commercials that give away the results of an event you're watching this year. You may remember that happening during the last Olympics. But
yeah. you would think so, Brian, but we've been tracking these Olympics fantasy and real time for our lives, and let's be honest, that's not going to happen.
Well, now, are you? What's your strategy this time around? Sochi is obviously quite separated on time zone. Are you going to be trying to follow stuff live? You catching the keeping track online? Are you going to wait for primetime shows? What's your strategy?
My strategy is to follow it live as much as possible. I mean, certainly curling is appointment watching. We all learned that 4 years ago.
Absolutely.
You know, especially when certain Nordic countries are on the ice. So I think that's appointment watching. Definitely all the hockey I'll be setting alarms for and watching live. Otherwise, I'm fortunate that I'll be able to catch as much live as possible. Not only just because I love it, but because I'll be tracking my fantasy team. But I intend on watching as much live as possible.
So, well, I'll give you a little plug here. I know you spend a lot of time down at the Two Door Tavern that you are a part owner of. Are you going to, will Olympics be on 24/7 down there?
24/7. And spending a lot of daytime during there, it'll make my live viewing even more possible. So, Two Door Tavern, North 5th, between Bedford and Marion, Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Come on down for the Olympics.
Fantastic.
that's my little Mike and Mike plug. How to work out.
There you go. That was pretty good.
Good.
So, you mentioned the hockey. You're a big hockey guy,
yes.
And I know a lot of folks have emailed in and been pretty excited about the prospect of being able to draft hockey teams. And as an aside, that's one thing I'll mention about the game. If you haven't played before, hockey is one of the sports that we draft only as a team. So, for instance, you're not going to draft Ryan Miller. You would draft all of Team USA Hockey. And we've got it separated out so you can see on the website how we do that. And the theory behind that is that anytime there's an individual athlete who does individual and team events, you can pick the individual. But if it's only a team event, then you can only pick the team. So that's the story on team drafting. But how do you see the Olympic hockey tournament playing out, given how much hockey you follow?
Yeah, at this point, I gotta still give the favor to the Canadians. I think they're the front runners perennially, but especially this year, I think the Team USA goaltending is going to be suspect. You know, I love the Red Wings, I love Jimmy Howard, but he's hit a bit of a rough patch recently. He's one of the three goalies that are going to be out there in Russia. I know that all of the weight of an entire country is on Alex Ovechkin and the Russian team, so I kind of expect them to crumble. I think the Swedes are going to be tough contenders for the title, and that's sort of my top ones. But I think Team USA makes it far, but doesn't get on the podium.
That sounds about right to me. I think if I had to pick a favorite right now, I'd go with Sweden. But yeah, I mean, I think in that Sweden, Canada, Russia, Team USA, maybe throw Finland in there. Somebody out of that group, I think, will emerge. I agree with you. I think
you could probably throw Finland in for a top five, round out a top five. That's fine.
Yeah, but, yeah. I agree with you that it seems like the type of situation where Russia folds for some reason. I don't have any inside information, but it's just the vibe I get.
Well, it's one, because the fix is in, and two, because of it, you know, Alex can't get no vet trick every night.
That's right. So, all right. So let's look to then, stepping outside of Team USA. Let's look at the top of our draft board. Yes. Some of the interesting folks there. Like I said, the people at the top of our board are generally going to be the multi-sport athletes, because what you're looking to draft early on is, not multi-sport athletes, multi-event athletes, who are doing multiple events in their one, in their one discipline and have a chance to medal. So this is where you just start to see a flood of Norwegians. You've got the Tora Berger and Marit Bjørgen. They're locks to get some points. They're right at the top of our draft board. By the way, have you seen a picture of Marit Bjørgen? Her arms are scary. I do not want to arm wrestle with her. So, I guess
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a lovely lady, but terrifying, that bicep there. I believe she was last year's, either she or Tora Berger, was last year's Norwegian female athlete of the year. Stepping over to the men's side on the biathlon, Martin Fourcade, I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
I think it's Fourcade. Doesn't matter. That's our guy, our other guy, our international guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm sure. You remember we saw him up in at Whistler at the biathlon venue when we got to go to the Vancouver Games. He was the gold medalist there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to see all. Yeah, that was a great time as well. We saw American Tim Burke out there. We saw Norwegian legend. The Norwegians are everywhere. Ole Einar Bjørndalen, who's back this year for a record-setting sixth Olympics. Which is just crazy. But, mm-hmm. All those guys are good, but Martin Fourcade is the best of that group. We expect him to medal in a lot of different events. Now, an interesting tidbit about him, we don't want to get him mixed up with his brother, Simon, his actually older brother, who's also on the Olympic team. That would be an unfortunate mix-up. in terms of the
that band. Would be.
I'm sure Brian is but...
Brian, I'm willing to venture that some of our listeners haven't been alive for six Olympics, and this guy's been competing that long.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. I mean, I just crazy. Bjørndal, I mean, just a legend. And I think, what was I reading about him?
And they go, and he is just world famous. I mean, the reaction that we saw in Vancouver to him is what you would expect Miami to react to if they saw LeBron James out and about. It was incredible.
Yeah, and he's got a chance to tie, I think it's the Winter Games record, if he gets one more medal that was set by his countrymen back in the 90s Soviet, but 12 in the Winter Olympics, which, you know, this isn't the, you know, it's not Michael Phelps stuff, but it's pretty impressive. You know, another of the Norwegians who was at the top of our, he was number one on our draft board, I think, for Vancouver, is Petter Northug. But I'd be a little wary of him. He's had some sort of virus over the last few months, from what I understand. He will be competing, but it certainly cut into his training. You know, he's still high up on our board, but and obviously we wish him the best and hope everything goes fine for him. But, yeah, that's something to be aware of as you're drafting. Anybody else toward the top of our board catch your eye?
You know, I really, for me, I'm kind of thinking about the Dutchman, you know, the love for the Dutch that I have. We got some speed skaters that are a strong pick out there. You got some both the women and the men's side. I mean, that's the thing that's kind of inherent. They have a strong training program, and they always have a big surprise there. So I'm looking there. And I'm also, you know, I'm looking at Shawnee. I know we're 17 on our big board, but, you know, gotta love you, Shawnee. And I might move him up a little bit just to make sure he's on, just to make sure he's on Team Jeremy.
Yeah. You know, one of the other interesting folks tie up on our board is Tina Mays, the Slovenian alpine skier. Higher on our picks than some others. You know, since Sports Illustrated has her maybe only winning one or two medals. I just think she's got a good chance in a lot of different disciplines on the alpine skiing side. But even if she doesn't medal, she'd be fun to have on your team because she's also now moving into trying to become a pop star in addition to a skiing star. During the 2013 season, she actually just released her first single. And, you know, so she's trying to get out there and get into mainstream music as well. So how about that?
I guess we all got to have hobbies, right? Some of us set up Fantasy Olympics and the websites and podcasts, and some of us release pop singles.
Yeah. Now, if you're looking for an alpine skier who's more of a lock, you've got Axel Lund Svindal, who has a fun name and is just been pairing it up. He's yet another Norwegian. He's on the men's side of things, and you know he looks to be, you know, barring something unforeseen, a lock to get more than one medal. And then you mentioned the long track speed skaters. There's also always a lot of fun over on the short track speed skating. No Anton Apollo this time around. But, you know, that's just such a crazy sport. There's a couple of Americans with a chance over there. J.R. Selsky, who apparently is friends with Macklemore, you know, more music tie-ins. But, you know, he's not necessarily one of the favorites. One of the favorites is a guy named Victor Ahn, who's particularly interesting because he's skating for the Russians. But in the last Olympics, he was skating for South Korea. I'm not really sure how that works, but yeah, he's skating under a different name now, but don't be thrown off by that. He's somebody with a chance to do some real damage on the medal podium. I believe, if I've got my guys right, he's one of the ones who was always dueling with Apollo Ohno back in the day, so you know, Victor Ahn, the guy keep an eye on. So.
He's always around, but I tell you, Brian, switching countries, that's either treason or the plot of the next Bond movie.
It could be both. I don't know. It's It's interesting. I mean, it's kind of it's one thing to, I mean, and I don't know his story. Obviously, I don't want to judge him, but, you know, it's one thing, you see this a lot in, like, you know, in international soccer or something. Somebody may have citizenship in a country where they're not good enough to make the team, and so they go over and join another team. Yeah, it's interesting to me that somebody who would be an elite Olympic athlete and has already competed at that level would be changing countries. I'm not sure how that happens, but that seems to be the case, so that's another story to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's kind of the top of our draft board. Do you have anybody who, for you, is just a stay away? Like, don't go anywhere near them?
It pains me to say, just because of the memories, the childhood memories it brings up, but you got to stay away from the Jamaican bobsled.
That is exactly the team that I was thinking of.
We have seen a lot of requests. People are naming their leagues or their teams after it. Again, great movie. Rest in peace, John Candy. It's an amazing story how they got there. But, you know, if you're drafting it just, you know, for kicks and giggles, just because you want them, fine. But if you want to win your league, you got to stay away from Jamaican bobsled. It is nothing more than a cute nice to have. You're not going to win your league getting the Jamaicans.
Yeah, that was exactly the team I was thinking of. I mean, if you draft them, that's fine, but you're basically throwing away however many points you would have gotten in that slot, and, you know,
yeah,
if the lead comes down to a couple points here and there, that could be the difference. Another one, and this pains me to say, because these guys were a great story at the last Olympics, and, you know, they all seem like good guys, but I would not count on the USA Nordic combined team coming through again. You might remember at the last Olympics, Bill DeMong and Johnny Spillane and some of these other guys, you know, had a great story, and they won a couple different gold medals and some dramatic moments, and that was outstanding. And that was the first time the U.S. ever won a medal in the Nordic combined, and it's a great story. But from what I understand, they have not been as hot on the circuit of late. They've also been dealing with some injuries, and, you know, they weren't on our original athlete list. They're there now because we had some requests for them. But to me, that's a stay away. I hope I'm wrong. You know, bring home the gold, guys.
Right, yeah.
I'm not betting on it.
I hope you're wrong, but it's a good strategy. That, we were talking earlier, that was last year's fun surprise for Team USA. But in terms of a draft strategy, I agree with you. That's a stay away this year. Please, guys, prove us wrong.
Yep. So, you know, that's kind of our take early on. You know, maybe if folks like the podcast, maybe later in the games or after the games are over, we can do another one. But that's, you know, that's the strategy that gives you a bit more insight on the game, gives you a bit more insight in advance of the Olympics. And we hope everybody enjoys and keeps enjoying the slate, enjoying the Olympics. That's really what we're here for, and what we're all about is just like trying to make the experience more enjoyable and kind of passing along that enjoyment for the Olympics that we have.
Yep, so, that's all I got. So, Brian, good chatting with you. Good talking Olympics. I'd like to say good luck to your team, but I know we're going head to head. So I hope you don't take our advice in this podcast, and I get to beat you this year.
All right, that sounds good. Well, we'll talk again soon. Thanks,
everyone. Take care. Thank you. Bye.